Hey, shalom, everyone. I'm Amir Tzarfati from Connect here in the Jezreel Valley in Galilee, Israel. And this is one more chapter of Author's Corner. And today we're going to talk about one of the first bestsellers that came out of our ministry. And that is, of course, Revealing Revelation, a book that was written by myself and Dr. Rick Yon, which is why, Steve, this time it's not only you, but it's your father with you. Shalom, Dr. Rick. Shalom, Steve. How are you, my friends?
Shalom.
Doing great.
What a joy to be on this program with the two of you.
Yeah, thank you. We're so thrilled to have you. Rick, this is the first book, to the best of my knowledge, that we wrote together. And it's the first book that we actually walked through an entire book of the Bible. Am I right?
You are exactly right. And when I think it really started out as a Bible study, and then you decided that this has to be a book. And boy, I just so appreciate the opportunity to be even a part of this whole process, because it's such an important book. You know, when I was dean out at Colorado Christian University and I was teaching master's programs, I would ask my students, have you read the book of Revelation? And the majority of them said no. They said they were afraid of the book of Revelation. And I said, what? Afraid? It is a wonderful book. It is a book that is just filled with worship. There are 14 doxologies in that book. Why would you be afraid of worship?
Yeah, you're right. And I think that, Steve, when we talked earlier before we began the program, you actually reminded us that the idea was actually born when we actually worked on Israel and the church, a book that finally clarifies the distinct difference between the two, and that not one is replacing the other, but God has a plan for both. And I think that was a segue into seeing Israel also in the end times, especially in the book of Revelation. Am I right?
Yeah, well, that's one of my favorite parts of this book. Again, Israel and the Church, one of my favorite books ever. But there's a whole portion of it that focuses on end times, and it talks about the church in Revelation, which we know is just a small part. And then there are two full chapters that talk about Israel in Revelation, and it goes through chapter by chapter, section by section, how Israel is seen throughout the entire book of Revelation. And I remember when we finished that book, looking at that, and I know, Amir, it triggered in your mind also, this is something special. And the outline that we used for that originated with my dad's writings, and then you took it, you adapted it, and you've included it in your teaching, and out of that came this section of this book. And I remember you thinking, this is something that we can do a whole book out of. And that, along with the Bible study, I think the Bible study is where the original outline came from, and that's how we ended up with Revealing Revelation.
Yeah, you're right. And may I remind you, gentlemen, that those were the days of the early months of COVID. The world was world was in chaos. The world was confused and fear. And as we progressed, of course, there was a lot of confusion that stemmed from the misunderstanding of the book of Revelation. I still remember that, you know, you may like it or not like it, agree or not agree with the whole vaccine thing, but I remember that people said it's the mark of the beast. And I remember how, you know, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, don't take any vaccine. It's fine if you don't agree with any of it. but do not spiritualize it, as certainly not bringing it as if the tribulation has begun already. And I remember that that made me understand how much there is a need to explain, right, to explain to people what Revelation is all about. And let's start, gentlemen, with the whole format of a Christian nonfiction. What is it normally that a Christian nonfiction is made of? And why is Revealing Revelation so different?
Well, I know with the previous books and with subsequent books, most of them, I know that you sought to keep it in the church Bible study format of 12 to 13 chapters, because that's a normal series length. So that way churches can take those books and study through them in a quarter. So that's really what you had always built them as. But looking at Revelation, and I know as we talked and we talked with my dad also, that Revelation doesn't break down that way. You can't just put Revelation into 12 and 13 chapters and combine this with this with this with this. It doesn't lend itself to that. So at that point, just had to throw the whole normal format to the wind and just say, we're going to go through chapter by chapter by chapter. And I know, Dad, that's something that as you worked initially with Amir, that you put that together where it was each chapter, well, almost each chapter of Revelation became a chapter of the book of Revealing Revelation.
And I also remember all these wonderful charts. What I think, because I've taught the book of Revelation a number of times, and I'm very visual, and I love charts. And I know, Steve, that you and I really differed on that, and you won out. And I'm so glad you did, because my approach would not really have worked in this situation.
Yeah. And I think that essentially that's exactly what we wanted to do. We wanted to glean much of what you normally teach, but we wanted it to not be an academic lecture, right, with charts and all of that. We wanted it to be so clear and easy to understand for the lay person. And we defined it, if you remember, as a almost like a tour through Revelation, almost like walking exactly. And for me, as a tour guide who guided for 20 something years tour groups in Israel, I think it was easier to approach the book of Revelation that way rather than go the academic way. And again, in seminaries and stuff like that, I believe that the academic way may work better. But the idea was to take a book that hardly anyone touches because people are afraid of, and to bring it to the point where everybody can easily read, understand, enjoy, and glean so much hope from. And Rick, I remember when we talked about the book, we actually concluded that it's like a sandwich with love letter in the beginning and love letter in the end. And how do you call that nasty spread that the British came up with on the bread? Marmaid? I don't know what
Marmalade?
It is.
Marmite?
Yeah. I don't know why this analogy came to my mind right now. But I mean, you see that there is love, there is concern, and there is so much hope, and there is so much great, amazing things. But then there is the reality of mankind and the stupidity of mankind, and the obvious thing that are resulting from it. So Again, we're talking about something that we wanted people not to be afraid of anymore.
Amen. And once they realize that the book of Revelation actually brings you into the world of the unseen. I mean, so many people are living in, we're all living in the seen world, and so many people believe that this is all there is. But all around us, when you begin to see how, for instance, the book of Daniel brings so much into the book of Revelation. I think of in Revelation 5, as we have the lion of the tribe of Judah, and then the lamb that is slain.
Yes.
All of a sudden, there's this wonderful worship experience that we have. If we can just put ourselves into that passage of scripture and join in with the angels to fall down and worship the one who was slain. I think of this passage in Revelation 5. It says, "Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the four elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, yes. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood."
Beautiful.
"Out of every tribe, tongue, and people and nations, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth."
Yes.
I mean, what a wonderful experience. And you go to the book of Daniel chapter 7, and you have thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000 gathering around the one like a son of man. And in Revelation, you have thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000 gathered around the throne of
it is,
the Lamb.
It is chapter heaven. But
it is chapter heaven. It is.
But and obviously, it was inevitable that once we were done with revealing Revelation, discovering Daniel had to be the next one, because we saw an amazing, amazing correlation between the two. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, there's a good chance that John the Beloved read the book of Daniel. And so,
one of the things I love, and just with what you were talking about there, I think there were two of the primary purposes in writing this book. We talked about one already, and that was to take away that fear of Revelation. I think for a lot of people, it was like when it comes to prophecy in the Bible, it's like looking at those old maps, map of the United States, where you see the East Coast, and then there's just empty beyond that because you have no idea what's there. And what revealing Revelation does is it fills in the map. It lets people see what else is in there and brings it to a point where it's easy to understand. But the other thing that I think that the revealing Revelation does is that it allows people to know that it's okay to believe these things. Mm-hmm. It's okay to believe that there is this heaven, that there are these saints who are worshiping, that there is this spiritual world. It's not, we don't have to resign it to allegory. We don't have to just say it's just some crazy story that must mean something else, because who can believe there are four horsemen? Who can believe that there are angels pouring out bowls? Who can believe those things? This book allows people to say, yeah.
Yes.
This is something that actually is taking place. This is what heaven looks like. And it's okay. I'm not a weirdo if I actually believe what the Bible tells me is going to happen.
Yeah. And Rick, let's admit the fact that most of the book of Revelation is dealing with events that you and I, and maybe Steve, you and I, Steve, will not experience. And yet, God saw it fit and important that we will know about those things. Why? I mean, let's face it, non-believers are not going to grab that book and read about what's going to happen to them. It's us that are grabbing that book and we're going to read about what's going to happen to them. So why is it that so much of the middle section of this book is actually about events that are not for us, and yet this book is for us?
No, the book is actually for us. I mean, just think in chapter 4 and verse 1, where God says to John, come up here. Well, one of these days, we're going to hear the same thing. Come up here. And when John gets up there into heaven, and he sees in chapter 4, the throne, the one who is sitting on the throne. And then he goes to chapter 5, and he sees another one, the lion of the tribe of Judah who has overcome, and the lamb who was slain. And this is the one who is worthy to judge. In fact, in the Gospel of John, Jesus himself says that God the Father has given me the right to judge. And 2,000 years ago, men judged our Savior by nailing him to the cross. And all judgment is now given to the Savior, to this Lamb who was slain to judge mankind. And we find that judgment coming in chapters 6 and 8 and 9 and 16. In fact, throughout a good part of the book of Revelation, it is the Lamb who is opening those seals. The Lamb opens the first seal, and the Lamb opens the second seal, and the Lamb opens the third seal. And then at the end of this book is when he brings us together, where we can reign with him. No, this book is for us.
Yeah, well, it's obviously it is for us. And I think he wants us to also know what's going to happen to those that are not going to be taken with us. So we will have the heart to share with him now the things that we know for sure that are going to happen. And they're not that nice. Steve. Go ahead.
I just want to say this is also such a great evangelistic tool, this book. Yeah. Because my grandfather came to Christ through this book. My dad came to Christ by knowing and hearing about the second coming of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And when I first heard about the rapture, and I was going together with my girlfriend who became my wife eventually, I began sharing Jesus Christ with her because of the words of this book. And when she was in college, she came to faith in Jesus Christ. Yes, this book is for us. It's a great evangelistic book, and it is a warning to those who refuse to acknowledge that they have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that they need Jesus Christ as their personal Savior.
Yeah. Steve.
I think that it's the other reason it's so important, it ties back to the book that that you released back in October, Exploring Ezekiel, where you cannot truly know who God is without understanding Revelation. Because Revelation, you see the character of God in the book of Revelation. You see the passion that he has for those who belong to him. We see how he works with his people, and he doesn't give up on his people, and he disciplines his people, but then he restores his people to himself. Mm-hmm. And if we put aside Revelation, we miss God's incredible love that he pours out to the Jews. And by understanding that, then that's how we know, as part of the church, that his love for us is never ceasing, that he will never give up on us either. We can't just throw that out. We can't just cut out and say, this is too confusing to understand. It's so important to know, to understanding who God is, to know the book of Revelation.
Yeah, I agree with you. And then, you know, after a while, when the book came out and I realized the impact that it had on so many people. I mean, this by far became a bestseller on Wall Street Journal, USA Today, a couple other newspapers, and Publishers Weekly. I mean, it was phenomenal. But then I realized this book has to also become a conference where we can show up, and over one weekend, and some degree also in some places throughout one day, we can actually cover the entire book of Revelation. We tried it the first time in the Philippines. In Manila, we had a 2 days conference. In Davao, we had it a 1 day conference, and it worked. And then we launched it as a moving traveling conference all across the world. It was all the way in Australia, New Zealand, in Central and Western Europe, in Romania and Netherlands and Germany, other places. We even took it to Italy. And from there, we did it also in, I think it obviously the US and Canada. And we're still planning on taking it to Brazil and to, we did it also, to the best of my knowledge, in South Africa. But my point is that people are hungry and thirsty for not just the message, but also to hear it over a short span of time, so everything comes together. Because I mean, you can take this book and spread it over a year, and with everything that people do over the week, they kind of forgot what they studied last week, and then things get lost in interpretation. But when you're sitting there for a whole day, everything is coming together so beautifully. And that's exactly what we decided to do with Daniel. That's what we are going to do with Ezekiel. And I just, this is, to be honest with you, my favorite part of traveling and teaching is when we teach these books. I mean, there's nothing better than teaching the word.
You know, Amir, one of the things that surprised me, you're talking about how widespread this is. My other son, Rick, and I were at the Billy Graham Museum in Charlotte, North Carolina. And after we had gone through the museum, we came out to the bookstore, and I was just looking at all these different books, and actually got a book that from Dr. Donald Gray Barnhouse. I used to be under his ministry at 10th Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia. And I found one of his books, and I got that. And I was ready to walk out, and I looked down, and I saw there is a book by Billy Graham, and next to it was a special edition, a Billy Graham edition of Revealing Revelation. Boy, I was just shocked.
I was just reaching for that to show the Billy Graham edition of this book, exactly.
Yeah. I remember when we were approached by the Billy Graham Association. Actually, we were approached by our publisher, Harvest Publishers House, and they told us, look, we were approached by the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, something like that, and they actually want, I mean, the thing that Harvest wanted us to know is that the cover will be slightly different, and so they you can show that book again. It has that golden strip on top, the stripe on top, where it says, and then the letters are not embossed with some gold, but it's kind of flat. But it was it was the fastest way we could actually print that many books, as this was, I think, one of the book of the month or something that they actually, I think, shipped to every person on their newsletter or email list. And it was phenomenal. And I was so grateful to see that. It is an honor. And so, guys, so this was the first one. We saw that God had blessed it. Then we moved to Daniel, and God had truly blessed it as well. Then we moved to Ezekiel, and we are definitely seeing God. It's the youngest of the three, and God is blessing it. And as long as we're here, Dr. Rick, as long as we're here, not at all. As long as we're here, honestly, I think that the rapture might be way faster than any other means of transportation to heaven. But to be honest, this is the most joyful way of teaching the word. And Dr. Rick, if you had to choose any other book after revealing Revelation and what we did with Daniel and Ezekiel, what do you think people should know and understand that is not clearly known and understood? What book of the Bible?
Well, I can think of a couple of them. One of them would be the book of Isaiah. It is such an important book, and it was written actually 150 years before these other books. Actually, we are going backwards when we think in terms of writing. True. And the book of Isaiah is so important because it not only tells us about our future, but it's so strongly tells us about Israel and God's plan for Israel and God sending his Messiah. And it's so clear in the book of Isaiah that the Messiah is the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm. I mean, you could actually just put Jesus' name in Isaiah 53 very clearly.
Steve, we are weeks after the horrific assassination of Charlie Kirk, and we saw a glimpse of revival and among so many that decided I'm going to start attending church. I'm going to go and read my Bible for the first time. And when you look at revealing Revelation, let's go now to what we go through now when it comes to the war and the unbelievable anti-Semitism that is rising all over the world right now. How do you think the study of the book of Revelation and reading revealing Revelation can fix that problem of misunderstanding the role of Israel in scriptures?
Well, I think what Revelation gives is purpose. We see purpose in what's taking place around us. We see purpose in the action right now. If you don't understand the Bible, you don't understand scripture, you don't understand God's plan, it just looks like, you know, we're going to heck in a handbasket right now. Yeah. This world is nuts. But when we understand that there is a direction, that God is leading us, he's letting all this stuff take place, but he has got a plan, and we are moving in a direction that ultimately will have him returning, sitting on the throne, ruling from Jerusalem, and then ultimately a new heaven and a new earth. Suddenly, it's not just nihilism all around us. It isn't just anarchy all around us. Suddenly, we see that God is still in control. And that gives us hope. That gives us purpose once again, as Paul writes in Thessalonians when he's talking about the rapture, comfort one another with these words. The book of Revelation is a comfort to the church, and it's a comfort to Israel, because we see that God has got a plan, and he will bring his people to himself where we can enjoy his presence for all of eternity.
Yes. Well, gentlemen, listen, our time is running out right now. And I want to, again, tell people, if you haven't done so, go and grab Revealing Revelation. And if you can, also get the workbook that comes with it, because it will take you way deeper into this book, the book of Revelation, and give you a better understanding of it. My prayer is that we will not have enough time to go through Isaiah, but we'll be up there meeting him face to face. But if we're still here, I would love to see one day some sort of we'll have to come up with a nice name, but Isaiah, definitely.
Interrogating Isaiah, interpreting Isaiah, something.
Investigating Isaiah.
Investigating. Exactly. But again, I think that even for the mere understanding of Israel, the role of Israel, the plan for Israel, every day that goes on, I see more and more and more Christians whom I thought have solid understanding of scriptures. When it comes to Israel, they show great biblical illiteracy, and and unfortunately, they have a lot of people that follow them, and they misguide them when it comes to that, and that adds to the fuel of conspiracies and anti-Semitism and all of that. Anyway, wonderful program today. I want to thank you, Dr. Rick Yon, for joining us, and Steve. Steve, thank you for once again being with us here for Author's Corner. And until next time, shalom from Galilee and from Parker, Colorado. Shalom.